Well, hello, hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon. And today's podcast is going to be all about content marketing, launch strategy. We are interviewing launch strategist Afriel Franks. She is a transformative business coach and strategist. I met her at Chalene Johnson's Can Be More, and she is so motivating. She's helped thousands of entrepreneurs build really impactful, profitable brands over the last 15 years. And she has a background in managing eight-figure real estate portfolios. She has so much excellence in what she does for her global coaching and practice. She's a two-time film producer, four-time author, viral content creator, and she's also launching a course this coming April for those of us who want to learn more about being an entrepreneur and content creation. April, you're going to teach us all about what we need to do better in the aesthetic space with how we're doing marketing and content creation for our platforms. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, so tell me a little bit about what's the modern approach to content creation? Because I feel like sometimes Instagram's getting a little bit stale, and maybe TikTok's not hitting it for the right audiences for my clientele. What do you think?
Well, I think there are people with money on every platform, and I think that that's I think that's the first thing is that the money is everywhere. There are rich people and there are people in low to moderate income levels on every single platform scrolling all day. There are CEOs who are unplugging all day scrolling on TikTok, and there's people on Snapchat, there's people on LinkedIn during the day. So it really is changing your overall mindset about where people are hanging out. Because just because someone does something professionally doesn't mean their downtime, because that's what social media is for, right? And now it's kind of really shifted more so into interest media. So less social, more interest-based, meaning what people are interested in is really where they are, what they're tapping into. So if they think cats and laughing babies are funny, then they're gonna go to wherever that is. So that's the first thing, is really just knowing that your people are probably everywhere. And understanding the nuances of the platform is going to help you become a better marketer within your business, right? Because it is about the nuances. Marketing as a whole, Dr. K, is the same. And then where it differs is the nuances between YouTube and TikTok, for example, or TikTok and Instagram, or Instagram and Facebook. So that's kind of one of the first things, is just understanding that there's money and new clients on every one of these platforms.
Many entrepreneurs feel pretty overwhelmed when it comes to creating consistent content. And what's the biggest mistake that you see people making?
Not having a plan. The biggest mistake that business owners have is that no business owner actually signed up to be a marketer, but the way that our world has shifted, and not is shifting, has shifted, is you're going to have to be a marketer or you need to hire an agency. And even with hiring an agency, you're still going to have to be a marketer, right? There's still that element of you having to show up and market yourself. And because social media has essentially conditioned us all to expect to know our esthetician. We want to see what you're eating. We do want to see what you're eating. We do want to see that you love this specific hair dye that I love. We do want to see that, you like to wear Tory Burch sandals. We want to see if you have a dog and the dog's name is Fifi. Like we people want.
Buddy, his name's Buddy.
Okay, buddy. Right? So people, but they do. They want to see that. And I think what happens for business owners is they don't want to be influencers, but they are influential. And I think just understanding that. So the biggest thing really is just not having a plan. People think that you can just post, and posting is not marketing, right? It takes a little more intention than that.
Yeah, how do you make content that literally converts people? Because I think that's the goal of making the content is you want to engage in interaction beyond the screen where they'll come and see you or get a or purchase something or visit your business.
Yeah. The biggest thing is content. You have to think of it in these three ways, and this is going to help whoever's listening right now. So, when you think about your content, I want you to think about it in the concept of three different styles, right? So, there's content that attracts. So, that should be for people that don't know you, never seen you before, right? So, how you would speak to someone about what you do who's never seen you before, you're a whole stranger, is completely different than someone who's already maybe heard of you or may even be on your email list, for example. Right. And so just thinking about those two different things. Most of the time, I found in my experience in coaching thousands of people over the last 16 years, is people are typically creating content in the tone as if the people know who they are already. So they're really talking over the newbie's head. They're talking over, right? It's almost like if you're dating, right? When you first meet someone and you exchange a phone number, like that's an initial, hey, how you doing? I think you're attractive. Can I call you? Very different than, hey, let's get married, right? Like we got to work our way up. What we're saying to someone brand new is going to differ. And I think learning the difference between the messages that attract both of those people to take action is where I think there's a big gap that we can close.
Yeah, you have to entertain, but you also have to educate, and then you have to engage with people and make yourself approachable. I think that's hard for some people. What if you're not someone who likes to be on video, or you feel exhausted by the idea of like every single day I have to make content?
Well, I don't think you have to make content every single day. I think that's a myth, right? So, if you were thinking you have to create content every day, you can effective today stop thinking that because you don't. But what you do have to do is be more strategic about how you create it. And so within my community, we call it the Batch 1427 protocol, where I encourage my business clients who are all business owners to batch their content once a week or twice a month, based on campaigns and promotions that they're running. So that way they already know what to create and they just follow a protocol of that creation. So I would encourage a batch protocol. So it could look something like this. Let's say there's a holiday coming up or a campaign you just made up, right? And you want to promote for that. I want you to think of, 14 ideas, which you already know. Those ideas could be the most commonly asked questions that you have already answered a gazillion times about skincare, about Botox, about fillers, about whatever. Some of the most popular people I follow are estheticians and people that do facial balancing and stuff like that. They have hundreds of thousands of followers. Literally booked out. I just met with an esthetician practice in Baltimore. I live in Charlotte. I just met with him last week. I had to set that appointment up 4 months ago. It took me 4 months to get a consult and it was virtual. So it took me 4 months to get a consult. So people are booked and busy on the internet. There is definitely a way to do that. So that's the first thing I would say is to batch, to start batching your content and think of your campaigns and then think of those ideas. Now, if you don't want to show up on camera, I think that's going to be a problem, because you're the person that's touching my face. So I kind of want to hear from you. I need to see you. I do think there is a mix of content that you can do that is not necessarily what we call expert note style content. I don't think that any of you, quite frankly, need to talk to the camera that often. We call that expert note style content. I think that there could be a good balance between what we call cred clip style content, which is just like B-roll of you in your office doing these things, right? So if you're doing, I don't know, a facial, you for on corrective skincare, you could record someone who has, acne, and you have a whole a content vault of acne content, and then you could have a whole content vault of facial balancing content. You can have a whole content vault of, just a little refresh and what's Botox. So I think there are some categories there that you could really play with and then create what we call cred clip style content, which is simply that behind the scenes of you, which doesn't even have to be your face. Overhead cameras, side shots, behind you, over the shoulder. There's so many creative ways you can do that. Literally 7 to 15 second clips, trending audio, words on screen, comment a word, and then it DMs them a coupon or a link to your booking calendar.
Okay, that's a good one. I see so many people doing that, asking for comments, comment a word, and then you get something in exchange. Do you think everyone's still falling for that?
Oh yeah, I mean, I had
Engaging with that.
like 5,000 subscribers last month with that on one video. So yes, it
Oh,
works.
really? Okay,
Yes,
that's cool.
it's the best way.
Are you using ManyChat?
Using ManyChat, I actually just came back from a ManyChat conference about 3 weeks ago in LA, and yeah, I mean, I'm a fan ManyChat because it's effective, it works, and it's super easy to set up. and no one has time to manually DM people or trust that people are going to click the link in your bio. You can't track that.
That's very true. With these social platforms changing so quickly, how do you think we should keep up and future-proof our content strategy? Like I want kind of evergreen content so it's always out there, but I see recently that Instagram's made some changes where it's really prioritizing reels and what are some new changes that are happening? Maybe bring us up to date on Instagram.
No, they are definitely prioritizing reels. One of the biggest changes that they've made over the last several months, two of them. One is they've gotten really sophisticated with their SEO, with categorizing your videos. So that's important, right? That means that the algorithm knows what your video is about. And if the algorithm knows what your video is about or your post is about, then it can show it to the right people, right? Based on the types of content that those people are promoting. Or that those people are engaging with in with other profiles. And then the other thing is hashtags are kind of dead on Instagram. Everything is about the SEO. So, and this comes from the CEO of Instagram. So that's really important to acknowledge and to understand as well, is that it's not about hashtags, right? So you using 50 hashtags is not going to get you more views. That has not worked, right? It doesn't work.
How can you improve your SEO? How Instagram's finding you with SEO
I
technique?
think that every single one of you can utilize ChatGPT to help you write an SEO-driven caption. So it's just a matter of the keywords, right? SEO is simply about the keywords that people are typing in. How to get rid of acne, how to look younger, how to all the things that people will be typing in, how to maintain my youth, what do I do with aging skin? How do I get rid of hyperpigmentation? Right? So all these different things. How do I get rid of crow's feet? All the things you can think of that people are asking. Right? What are those things? And you can utilize AI, whether it's Claude, Chat, Jasper, any of those platforms to help support you in that. And I mean, I am a business coach and I do think there's no reason why you should know how to market. Like, this is a skill set. And there's just no reason why. It's like me just knowing how to, I can't even pop a pimple correctly. You know what I'm saying? So it's not like, why would
No,
I know that? Right. I didn't study that. I don't do that every day. So just like there's no reason I would know how to do what you do, there's really no reason why you just should intrinsically know. And there's so many changes and things moving so quickly. So.
Interesting. So other than Reels taking priority and SEO becoming very optimized, do you think the algorithm is seeing AI too much and getting like down regulating or downgrading you for using too much AI in your social or not yet?
I don't think yet, actually. I think they're still figuring all of that out. I do think is, we were just talking about this in my school. I own the School of Content Marketing. And the question I asked them this morning was, do you think that AI is going too far? Right. And what are your thoughts? How are you utilizing it? You know, are you utilizing it to brainstorm, to help you come up with new ideas? Are you depending on it? Is it, hampering your critical thinking skills? Like, what does that look like for you? So I think that it's still so new, and I do think it's moving faster. And I also think that they're using AI to speed it up, right? I think once this thing was created, now it's growing. It's like a web. So,
Yeah, I mean, I worry because my marketing team will chat GPT a caption. And then to me, I can just tell right away, like, that sounds like a Hallmark card. Doesn't sound like a real person wrote it, you know?
well, I think that's a part of, so that doesn't have to happen. That's a part of.
Yeah, like they could do better prompting, but
Yeah.
even so, it falls slightly flatter than what I think a human would write, in my opinion.
I think no company should be using a direct output from AI.
Yeah.
So I think that, I mean, those are just my thoughts. You do want the human element, and at the end of the day, this is your brand and you have a voice, and I think it's very important. Now, a tip that I can give you, and this could support your marketing department or anyone else that's watching, is when I do my videos, we use the transcription to write the captions. So then it's pulling directly from what I'm saying, and my back end of my AI is trained super well for my voice and my tone. So that's
Well, I was
important.
gonna say, what are your favorite AI tools that you're using right now?
Oh, there's, and I have a whole list of them written on this board. So I would have to say, first of all, I love Hedra. for making videos. I like Kling for turning pictures into videos. For ideas and brainstorming, I think that ChatGPT is great. For writing, I think Claude is probably a little bit better for writing. And I've been creating like little movie clips using VEO3. So, there's a lot out there. There's so many tools. I probably have like seven or eight of them written down. Freepik, I was just playing in that yesterday. Blotato, I haven't really gotten into that, but I've been signed up for it for months. So there's just so many new things. I just signed up for Sora yesterday and created my first three videos on that platform.
What'd you think of Sora?
I don't know that I like this fake world of things. I much rather be on a platform where I know there's real humans and that a human created something that was AI. I don't know that I like only watching AI. I'm not really interested.
You can take your virtual digital avatar and give it a voice now, and like, well, you and I don't even have to show up. We can have our avatars talk to each other. But that, what
Yeah,
kind of world is that, you know?
I don't enjoy that. And I think that's why in person, so I love the aspect of your work because even if you're utilizing these tools, you cannot be replaced because they still have to come to you. You still have to touch their face, right? And so I love that aspect that can't go, that's not going to go away.
Right. What's new on TikTok these days?
Everything.
Where do you see as some big TikTok trends finishing out this year and also for 2026?
Honestly, TikTok is really great for e-com. I'm also a TikTok shop affiliate, and I'm about to be a seller there as well. So it's just a lucrative platform for e-com. It almost feels like a little QVC, where people that have retail can sell their retail, on those platforms in a really big way. So TikTok is, doing its thing. I really believe that Instagram copies everything that TikTok and other platforms do, or they buy the platform. So it's the SEO has always been great over there. I think that's why the virality is so good. I do think it's a great lead source for Instagram and YouTube. One of my clients uses it to fill her Facebook community. She has over 13,000 people there that all came from TikTok. So, I mean, my best TikTok day was a 36-hour, 3,000 lead day. That's free leads with a 43% show up rate. So it's a profitable platform. People spend all kinds of money on TikTok. So I wouldn't discount it. It should not be discounted. I think I discounted it for a while because I listened to a lot of rhetoric and then I just had to see for myself. And I've been doing this for 16 years and I just now hit 50,000 followers on Instagram.
And then
And I'm at
after you grow faster,
130,
do you think people grow
133.
faster?
Oh no, they do grow faster. That's definitely a fact. The algorithm is created for that. Like the two platforms are just different, right? That's why I was talking about those nuances earlier. TikTok wants you to go viral. Like that is the thing. They want to push your video. They teach you. They tell you what to do. They show you examples of what to say. Like it's a very creator supportive platform. I have been to six in-person TikTok events. They are consistently educating their users, their creators. Instagram is Meta is just different, right? They are more for the advertiser, right? The advertiser, us, the business owner. We pay the money, they put us in front of the people. TikTok is for the creator. It's a little bit different.
I like
Yeah.
that. Do you think in 2026 we're going to have some big new different trends in social and
Oh,
marketing?
100%. Yeah, because the
That's right.
trends keep things alive, and what I found is that from a trend standpoint, and I know because I'm on the other side of that. So, for example, let's use TikTok for an example. We can use Meta actually. I was in a beta test before Meta came out with Messenger for Business. So, before we could use Messenger on our business pages, I was in the beta group with nine other businesses, and we tested this all out. I went to Facebook. I was interviewed by the president of the head of Facebook for Business. And I think that it's just going to get even more in depth. So I think this is the time, like right in this season right now, to really lean into the automations, to lean into really being more clear on your strategic planning as it relates to your campaigns and the different promotions you want. Because quite frankly, they're basically the same. You do the same shit every year. Right? Christmas is coming, the summer's coming, the spring is coming. Our skin's changing with every season. The problems that people have been having with skin, they're going to keep having. Aging, we're going to keep wanting to look younger. I'm 49. I was laying in the bed the other night talking to my husband, and I was like, some woman had a facelift. And I looked at him, I said, listen, well, if the day comes, I'm going. Okay, I am
You do
going.
not look 49. You look like 39. Bam.
I'm
Yeah, you
definitely 49.
look great.
My knees are evidence. Okay,
Maybe
I'm 49.
the cartilage with your skin. Although I think that everything you're saying is very true. What can we do in 2026 to make our brands more profitable?
I'm sorry. Okay.
That's a
I'm sorry.
hard question, but like in next year, I feel a little recession coming, an economic downturn somewhere in the horizon. And I think every brand is going to have to work a little harder for everyone's dollars, and everyone's going to be holding their dollars tighter. So what can businesses do in that environment?
I think, first of all, acknowledging that that is happening. I mean, right now at this current state, people are losing a lot of jobs. There is a lot of uncertainty. I think leaning into some digital assets, I think, will be important. Maybe not always can someone come into your office. I think also turning your best knowledge into, again, another digital asset, a book, a mini course that you can sell. So there is still, some what we call, mailbox money. You're still bringing in another 10, 15K in digital money of something you created one time. I think that that will be great. A library of utilizing the retail products that maybe you're selling inside of your practice. How do I use these products? I think that that would be really, great to add. One of my clients owns one of my legacy clients. She launched her own skincare line, and before she did that, she owned a 2,500 square foot salon, aesthetic salon for corrective skincare in Oklahoma. And we worked through her expansion, and we expanded it to 5,000 square feet. And one of the things that we focused on as her coach was her retail sales, her email marketing, right? Those things weren't set up. She was using Mindbody or whatever at the time. And so we really focused on r email marketing and repeat customers and nurturing the people that you were already there, right? Also, because I think a lot of times business owners spend a lot of time going after new money, but there's so much repeat business. You can increase the AOV, the average order value of your client, and the LTV, the long-term value of that client as well. You can increase that by being more strategic and consistent with rebookings, with, referral loyalty programs, with retail, with potential digital products and resources that they can be utilizing, because our face is something we're looking at every. I am obsessed with skincare. Obviously, I am literally obsessed with looking younger than my age. I mean, it's just what it is. Like, and I wasn't always this way. It started with me getting, like, in about 6 or 7 years ago, getting some filler for some under eye bags that I had, and then I had some blotchy skin. I was like, let me really take this more seriously. So I spent a lot of money on skincare. I think it's important, and so you really want to be talking to people who care about how they look. So that goes back to the messaging. And I think when you're building community around your practice, I think that you'll sustain because those people will want to consistently support you.
Yeah, do you recommend that we niche down into, very specific categories or be more broad and encompassing, inviting everyone in versus just
I like
inviting
niche.
people? You like niche?
I like the niching. I want to know. That's kind of like I had a Brazilian butt lift in 2018, and I was looking for a doctor. I was looking for a doctor who did it every day. I need a doctor who does this every day. I don't want a doctor who does 50 a year. I want a doctor who does 400 a year. That made me feel good. That's a good decision. I can go to your page. I can see all of these visuals of these transformations that you've created. I want to see that like one of my clients, she leans into corrective skincare for people of color. They have different skin than non-melanated skin. I don't know that. That's not my skin. That's not my thing, right? So yeah, I do think that niching then it specializes you. It really does. And
I
people
think so
can
too. You talk a lot about intentional impact and abundance, and how do you coach women in particular? Because I think 90% of women in aesthetics are 90% of us in aesthetics are women. How do you
Yeah.
coach women to get into that mindset of intentional abundance?
You have to know who you are. This goes beyond your profession. It's what type of woman are you? Are you happy? Do you enjoy waking up every day? Do you like what you're doing? Do you like where you're doing it? The more pleasure I think we have in our lives holistically, the easier it is for us to make decisions. I think also because we are very driven and ambitious women, I think it's very important for us to lean into like that expansive mindset, like what do I want, and being maybe even a little bit selfish about it, because otherwise we're just going to be unhappy at work. And so why do we want that? We're not going to make the best decisions. I also think something that we tend to do as a society is that we reward hard work with rest, and I think that women need to rest in order to work.
I think we don't.
Yeah. And so you get busy, you got kids or you got family, you have these different things going on, and it's a lot. And so I had to get out of that hustle mode, 'cause like I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to do this. And I work hard, but I'm going to rest. Like I didn't get out of the bed today until 11 a.m. And I needed that rest. I took two meetings from my bed today because I was like, I'm tired, so I'm just going to lay here and I will get up and get dressed this afternoon because I can. And I think that's important, is learning to rest so you can be rejuvenated enough to make good decisions that are going to benefit you in the long run.
Well, what advice do you give to women who are they're entrepreneurial, they're doing great in their business, they're successful on paper, but maybe they don't really feel fulfilled?
I think it's the same similar response, right? It's like when is enough enough? And I also think that you get to write your own story. You get to create your own life. I think we really have to start deconstructing from constructs that were never created to benefit women in the first place. Most of the things that we do were never created for us. We have to remember we just got rights. Just like in our mutt. Yeah, literally. I mean, women are still fighting for equal pay. So I think when you think about that, it's like you have to be very careful whose belief system you're living. Is it your belief system, or is it some tradition that just never worked for you, or you've questioned all along? So I think when women are a little bit more honest with the fact that they actually do disagree with things, or they have a different viewpoint, and start living that way, then which requires courage and bravery, right? Then and it also will have to remove that element of people pleasing that I think women get caught up in. It's like, well, I'll do this because they want. And you really have to start doing things just because you want, and let people be pissed off. No one ever died from being pissed.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the new year is coming, and many people will want to kind of do a reset and restart. So, if you had to give advice to someone about like how they could reinvent themselves in the new year or to work better and harder on their brand, what would that advice be?
It would be not, it will probably be not to do that. It will probably be not to do that. I think that you should, if you are ready, or if you're feeling right now like you're dissatisfied, or you want something more, or you want to expand in another area, start right now. The hell with fucking January 1st. Like, start right now. It could be January 17th. It could be February 3rd. It could be November 17th. The day that you feel it, that's the day you need to take action on it for sure. I think waiting and fooling ourselves into these campaigns of the world, I don't know that they're that helpful for us. There's a reason why most people give up on their New Year's resolutions by February 14th. And it's because it doesn't work. It feels forced. There's no alignment there. If you're feeling it today, as you're listening to this podcast, start making some small changes in your life. Start book a retreat. Maybe go on a retreat for the New Year's. Do something that's gonna feed your soul. Don't dig into more work. If you just shift your belief system that you'll be more productive, more profitable, more rich, and happier, when you're well rested and you're taken care of, your whole life will be different, and so will how you run your business.
If you had to give listeners just one action step that they can take today, since we're not going to wait till January to move their themselves, their mindset, their brand forward, what do you think?
Create a list of your values that you want to live and subscribe by. Create the list today. Write it down. It's better to write than to type. Just cognitively, we retain things better. So I'm encourage you to actually write it in a journal or something. And if you have to email it to yourself, but allow that core list of values, whether it's eight of them, 10 of them, seven of them, allow that to guide your decision so you can stop questioning yourself. And you could just be really honest about the things that are important to you and start there and allow that foundation to dictate your decision making and how you show up in the world.
I love that. Well, you have to come visit next time you're in LA. I got hands on
I was
you.
just there. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Listen, 100%. I don't even know how we ran into each other. I think we were, I don't even know. But
It's
I'm
from
really grateful.
the Can't Be More, that Chalene Johnson. I met you on Chalene's page, and then I lectured with her over at that conference she put on. But
Oh, that's great. I love it so much.
yeah.
But yeah, I love this work. I love working with women. I love coaching women, business owners who are really committed to excellence and understanding what they're doing. I just think it's important for us to evolve. And I think that in a world where things feel like things are being forced upon us in some ways, I think it's really important for us to be bolder and to find our voice and to make
Yeah.
more money, because the more we have, the more options we have, the less bullshit we have to put up with.
I love what you said about make your own list of what your priorities are and how you want to live and what's your ideal day. And you have to visualize it and write it down and then manifest it. Basically, you
It's
have to
all, yes,
manifest it.
it's all
Yeah.
about manifesting and faith. And however you, again, because a lot of times we just get busy and caught up with doing and not
So
really,
true, and not thinking about the life we're living.
no, and not being like, who are you? You know, like there's just a lot of unhappy people. People don't like what they're doing. I love what I'm doing. I have so much fun doing what I'm doing. I love seeing women get it. I love when they light up. I love when they do the thing that they were so scared to do, or say the thing that they were scared to say because of what other people might say. But they've always wanted to say it. Like that freedom of just being able to express yourself and show up like boldly and confidently, I think that's everything. And I definitely think like right now we need more of that.
I think so too. Well, that was really a good message for everyone's heart to hold and think about. And yeah, going forward into the new year, start now, but also do, I think the idea of a retreat, thinking about your own life, your own wellness, your own approach to what you want. You got to
And if
take
I
action.
had to, and if I could, I'll just give a plug. If I had to recommend a retreat, quite frankly, for professional women who, want, this discretion, it's very woo-woo. About 60 of my clients have gone, countless number of friends, family members. It's a retreat in Sedona Soul Adventures, and it's a solo retreat. So you book it just for you, and they build it just for you. So you reach out to them, and they tell you, you tell them what all your shit is, and then they build it around what you want. And it's called Sedona Soul Adventures. It was created by a woman named Deborah Stengel. And you can find her book on, it's called The Journey to Happy. They didn't tell me to say this. I didn't know I was going to say this. But she has a book called The Journey to Happy, but it really activated big changes in my life personally for myself. And it's just helped so many other people. So if you are looking for a retreat, tell them I sent you. They would love to, they would love to chat with you.
Amazing. And if you want to go to a really good marketing conference, you're putting one on. Tell us about that one. Give yourself a plug.
I am. So Marketing School Live is for business owners who want to turn follows, likes, clicks, and shares into profitability. It's going to be fun. Okay. It's going to be a good time, but you're also going to learn and you're going to be in action mode there. It's going to be in Atlanta, April 3rd and 4th. The link is not up yet, so make sure you're following me on Instagram. So when we drop that in the next few weeks, you'll be able to see it. But yeah, you can find me on Instagram at Epic Aprielle, EPICAPRILLE. And I'm sure it'll also be in the show notes.
It'll be in the show notes. Well, there you have it, girls. And guys, this is really great advice for marketing from a marketing expert, branding expert. But more importantly, I think what you said about like finding your happy. You
Yeah.
can't do well in your business till you do, till
You
you
can't do
have.
well until you do. Because what sense does it make to have money and then you're not even happy with the money you got?
So true. Well, it's such a pleasure chatting with you. Thanks so much for coming on the podcast. And don't forget to find me, guys, and my Instagram. It's Beauty by Dr. K. That's DRKAY, doing amazing things with people's faces. And our website is beautybydrk.com. That's where you can find our new skin longevity line, which has NAD boosters, mitochondrial treatments that improve skin glow, and pigment products too. I'm going to send you some, Miss April. I think you will love them. That's it for now, guys. Stay beautiful.